Hey, sports fans, if you want to stay in the know with the latest news surrounding the Oregon Ducks, you need to listen to the weekly Webfoot Review podcast on iTunes and Spotify. I'm Jordan Schultz, and every week I'll be here breaking down what's going on in Eugene and how it affects Oregon's football and basketball teams. So if you want unfiltered news and opinions delivered by a lifelong Ducks fan, subscribe to the weekly Webfoot Review on iTunes and Spotify. Go Ducks!
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Blazers Edge podcast. I am your host, Danny Morang. I am joined by my friend and Lakers nemesis and all-around good guy, but don't let him know that I said that. Harrison Reagan, the editor-in-chief of our little brother site at SB Nation.
Oh, Silver Screen and Roll. That's what we're going. I mean, hey, like over the weekend, we have been your little brother site. I will say that. Like, you know, Blazers fans are really excited about their team.
It's the one thing that we can kind of lord over anybody in Lakerland, even though we're, you know, 1/13th the size. We do pretty well. So
yeah.
But just wanted to say thank you for joining us, man. We're going to preview Lakers Blazers, but first of all, we were talking about something leading up to this before we came on, and you have like a hierarchy of meme acceptance that
yes.
you go through. And there's one in particular that you tweeted out earlier as we were going back and forth, where it has Rondo and Dame on it. Basically, Rondo is Dame's daddy from the Pelican series. But you accept that one because, and go ahead and give it to me. Why is it okay that one is acceptable to you in that frame?
So first of all, I did want to make that my Zoom background, but my computer will not let me do it. And I just thought that would have been hilarious just to jump on here.
Oh, perfect.
With that as the background, but unfortunately I couldn't make it work. But yeah, so I think that one's okay because it's two adult people like that are basketball players, public figures, whatever, photoshopped onto a stock photo. Like where I draw the line, like the ones that weird me out and I don't think are as funny are like when people put like LeBron's head on Steph Curry's body in like a family photo. Like that's just weird to me. Like I think that goes over the line. But like just like joking that someone is someone's son after they get dominated by them, like, you know, like Lillard was against Rondo and the Pelicans a couple years ago.
Okay.
Like, you know, those ones I think are funny, and that's just like part of social media and online life.
For those of you that don't know, Harrison is the guy that you can thank basically every time Damian Lillard goes nuts against anybody. It's him just subconsciously. He doesn't have to actually have to put it out there in the Twitterverse. He just has to have a thought about it, and then Damian Lillard goes nuts. This is the actual physical embodiment of the chip on Damian Lillard's shoulder right here.
No, that actually happened yesterday. No joke. I was getting ready because we had to write about, you know, your game regardless because it's relevant to like figuring out the Lakers 8 seed
proceeding,
and like what happened in that game. So I was writing like down the stretch. I don't know. There were like probably 5 minutes left, 6 minutes left. And I was like, okay, it's time to start putting more of the skeleton in for like the Grizzlies won this game and like move it on. And like, I didn't tweet anything. I didn't put anything out into the universe. I just started writing like the Grizzlies won. There's going to be another play in tomorrow. Really benign stuff. Just like laying out the facts, whatever. And then all of a sudden, Dame starts going off. CJ starts going off. And like the blade and, you know, Carmelo hits his three. And I'm like, okay, well, crap. And then I had to, you know, finish like frantically get together and write out a new, like separate doc recap or whatever of what actually
Welcome to life as a Blazers recapper, by the way.
Yeah, no, I would not want that job after watching their last two games. That's no, thank you.
There's a reason I moved on from that. It was having to re-scramble and to completely destroy everything you just wrote over the last hour and then having to have it done in 15 minutes is I don't wish that upon anybody, but
yeah,
our guys do a
fantastic
job.
Dame is the recap killer for sure.
Oh no, 100%. That's the Dame time is rewrite time. If we're being honest. So we have it locked in Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday night, whatever you want to call it. Blazers Lakers game one, round one. This is kind of the one that everybody's hinted at. What's your general takeaway from what this series is going to be like? How it's going to go? Regardless of the narratives of the Blazers being the Laker killers, blah, 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 blah. When you take a step back and you look at it, what's kind of like your general overall thought?
Yeah, I mean, like, that's a whole other thing that we can get into. But, like, I think it gets started because people want to talk about the Lakers. And it's like, I honestly think whoever was their 8-seed opponent, like, people were talking up the Pelicans before the play-in. It's like, oh, you know, they got Zion rolling, Brandon Ingram's an all-star. They could give the Lakers some problems in round one. And, you know, and then once the Blazers actually, you know, like, they got Nurkic back and people started to notice how good they were, people really hopped on, like, that bandwagon. But, like, as far as this series, like, I think there's going to be a lot of shootouts. Like, the Lakers very clearly did not fully engage outside of that Clippers game during the bubble rounds because, you know, they got that one. They essentially clinched the number one seed. They still had to, like, have the Clippers lose or them win at some point, but it was basically done. And so those games kind of stopped meaning anything for them. And, like, obviously they struggled. I think they had, like, the worst offense of any team in the bubble or, like, third worst or something like that. Like, it was really bad. Like, you know, they did not play at you know, tip-top shape. And I think that it's hard to just, like, flip the switch like that. So I do think that while their defense was still good in the bubble, and I do think that, like, they can make things a little bit more difficult on Portland than some of the teams that they were playing were. Like, you know, defending a guard like Lillard is not their strong suit this year anyway. And so, like, I think that we are going to get a lot of shootouts in this series, especially because, like, the Lakers are going to have to get their offense going again. And, like, I think Portland's defense can help them a little bit with that, but, you know, they're going to have to hit some open shots, which has been a little bit of a struggle for them so far in the bubble. So I think they're going to have to ramp back up, but, you know, I know that this is like not what you as like a Blazers fan or what your listeners want to hear. I don't really foresee it being a long series, although actually, you know, given my reputation for jinxing Lillard into greatness, like that may be exactly what you want to hear me say.
Yeah, no. Call it Lakers in four, man. I'm all for it. let's get that kind of energy rising. I'll just go ahead and just send the text to Dame now. Here you go. Here, this is your chip right here. Just
yeah, no. You just say one. Isolate the clip of like my whatever rants I go on and just like edit those together, and they can put that underneath their film for this series.
He's putting out singles in the bubble. I'm just gonna give him a little sample of you saying Lakers in four and have him put.
Oh
that
man,
in there.
That would be a top five moment of my life if you know like something I said got sampled in that song. As like it was like it was some song he called it like To My Haters or something like that. And
I mean, it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility. There's definitely some sneak jabs in there at Paul George.
We cannot rule it out. No.
No. And the thing is, he is so patently aware of everything that's said. I actually love that Steph Curry said like last week that, you know, he's got people that send him everything, no matter what, whether he wants to see it or not, within his close circle and friends. I'm all for that. Like for the guys that like get locked in now, the Kawhi Leonard doesn't even, and Harden, those guys probably don't even know what the internet is. So, you know,
no, James. Remember, James Harden does not. He's not an internet guy. Yeah, remember, like that was his excuse for you know his math choice. James Harden doesn't know what the internet is.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's so on brand for him. You kind of touched on it here a little bit, though. Something I wanted to ask you about the whole idea, and we always get this anytime there's a contrast between rest versus rust. Obviously, the Blazers just played 9 games in 16 days, and their playoff life was on the line literally every single night. Lakers, not so much. And I'd say that the two levels that they are playing at right now are probably vastly different, particularly when it pertains to offense. The Blazers' offense was just – and it's kind of funny. You hear people talk about, oh, the Blazers just run this or they just run that. It's like they just averaged $130 a night, guys. Is this really what we're criticizing? I know the bubble defense wasn't great at times, but let's be honest. The Blazers' offense was just – humming along the entire time. That's not a problem. But when you look at this series, do you think that there's any edge or in any way, shape, matter, or form for the Blazers maybe being geared up in a playoff mindset already versus the Lakers knowing where they are?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail right on the head. That's kind of what I less elegantly was saying, and you know, when I was talking just second ago, like I think there is something to be said for that. Like the Lakers are going to have to get adjusted to playing like all of these games matter again, and Portland is well adjusted to that. Now at the same time, like, you know, are they going to be a little bit fatigued by like all of everything that they just had to go through to get here? Like, but and you know, like with respect to Nurkic and his family, like what he's going through that's like more serious than any basketball stuff in his personal life. Like I think all of them have to be exhausted, probably physically and emotionally at this point. And like, not to, you know, make that a like, how does that affect the series thing? But like, I do think that,
but
you know,
it does.
Maybe, yeah, it could affect them. But at the same time, they also are used to, like, hey, like, we got to hit shots in the, you know, in every quarter. And we need to play every single possession. Like, it matters. And the Lakers have not been, you know, for better or worse, have not been playing that style of basketball. They've gotten a little bit more rest. But, like, are they able to just, like, that turn it back on again? And, like, I think that that's probably the biggest question going into this series is, like, can Portland get an early edge here just because the Lakers, you know, have not been playing games that mattered for a little while?
Well, I mean, all LeBron needs to do is put another IG post of him actually getting out of the cryo tube, right? That's how it works. That's how the switch flips.
Yeah, no, he's going to activate play. At some point, I'm sure, let us know that he's activated playoff mode. Like,
yes.
Last year, he was courteous enough to let us know that, you know, down the stretch. And so I'm hoping, you know, they're talking right now. Maybe he's going to let reporters know that he's activated playoff mode.
Perfect. Like,
I'm assuming that's a button that he keeps with him, and he just clicks it, and it's like, all right, playoff time.
Does he wait until Tuesday, or is that a Monday thing? You gotta kind of like,
I don't know. I mean, that's something I think that we may have to ask him. Like, do you activate playoff mode the day before the series? Is it, like, has it been activated since you guys finished the regular season?
It's like an older version. You gotta kind of let it load first, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, there may be some firmware updates this year, like for like a Lakers uniform and all that stuff. Like he's got to get ready.
You gotta get those patches updated.
Yeah.
This is obviously the matchup issues, right?
Yeah.
As we talk about the Lakers, guard play for the Blazers. Big play for the Lakers.
Yes.
So Anthony Davis is problematic no matter who you have. Do you think – let me rephrase it this way. Which matchup is more important for the other team to not stop but control? The Lakers down Dame and CJ,
okay,
or the Blazers slowing down LeBron and AD?
I mean, I think you almost have to say, like, the Lakers slowing down the Blazers, just because, like, basically, if the Blazers, like if Dame and CJ stop playing, like, you know, like Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, like circa, you know, like the non this year Warriors, like at some point, like I don't think the Blazers can score enough points to win, like, and they just don't have anything to fall back on.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I think the Lakers, at the very least, like, if their offense is somewhat limited, which, you know, we can get into if that's even possible for the Blazers, like, like, what are they going to do about LeBron at all? Like, and AD to a lesser degree. But, like I think the Blazers, like, they're going to live and die with Dame and CJ going off. So I think I have to lean there, just because the Lakers do at least have their defensive ability this year to fall back on a little bit. Like, they obviously cannot win a series if those guys don't get going. But I think that it's more important for the Blazers just because it's literally their only shot.
From the Laker point of view, obviously Rondo may or may not be a go. Avery Bradley's not a part of the team right now.
I would say Rondo is unlikely because we're only just now at 5 weeks and he's only just getting back into the bubble, and his original timeline was 6 to 8 weeks.
Okay.
Like, I have a hard time seeing him jumping back in. And like, look, he's been a guy that's played through injury before, so maybe he'd do it. Like, but to be honest, I'm not sure that necessarily helps the Lakers.
Okay, so let's take him out as well. Is this a situation where we maybe see the Lakers start Caruso and try to have him take the majority bulk minutes on Dame? Is that what you think is going to end up happening?
I feel like that is a matchup, like, that's an adjustment card more so than, like, a off the bat. Like, we'll see what Frank Vogel does, but, like, his, you know, from covering him this year for the first time, like, I think one of the things that I've learned about Vogel is he's not afraid to make adjustments, but he typically doesn't make them preemptively. Like, he is normally a guy that is like, we want to impose our style of play, for better or worse, on the opponent. And if it doesn't work, then we make adjustments. Like, we even saw that starting game two of the season. Like, the Lakers starting unit just did not look good against the Jazz in their second game. They had just lost to the Clippers. They did not want to go 0-2 to start the season and, like, deal with all the, you know, the attention and whatever from that. And Frank just immediately, he starts AD at center in the second half. The Lakers go off, win that game. Like, and that was the moment, you know, that I always think back to. And he's done other things like that since then, where, so, like, you know, with you know, in regards to Caruso, I think that that would be more of a thing where if Dame and CJ are just, like, flaming, like Danny Green and, you know, KCP and, you know, like, right off the bat, then I think that that is something that the Lakers, you know, may go to as far as, like, putting, because Caruso has been their best guy on Dame this year. Like, he's obviously, he's not going to shut him down by any means.
But
he's been their best option to throw at him, I think. And so at the very least, like, that's why I think, like, the Bradley thing is overstated in this matchup. Like, I think he would have helped, but he's not the Dame stopper, or like Dame is not going to go off because Avery Bradley is not there. Like, it, you know, I think that Caruso is better suited to guard him for a lot of reasons. And again, like, he's not going to shut him down, but I do think that is something that we will see them go to a lot regardless. And with how bad the starters have been in the bubble, I could see them make that adjustment, like, even like as soon as like halftime of game one, like if it just is not working in the first half.
So teams have basically gone to and employed, when we've kind of hinted and joked at it, the Pelicans defense, which is to throw two or three, sometimes four bodies at Damian Lillard. The last three games for the Blazers saw pretty much an endless parade of that. And Damian Lillard scored, 100 points and had about 30 something assists in those three games. So what's the Lakers' plan here? Is it to just stay home on everybody, or do they say, hey, we've got more size, more length, more versatility, and we're going to throw even more at Damian Lillard and live with everybody else?
I'm not 100% sure, but like my guess would be that they try to stay straight up with the intent of forcing him towards their length at the basket, just mm-hmm. because that is like what they've done against like most good guards this year. It obviously has not worked as well for them in the bubble, but again, how much of that is that like they weren't locked in or whatever, yeah. You know, who knows? But I think that they, you know, they have AD, they have JaVale McGee, like starting off games. They have Dwight Howard in for moments with AD. Like sometimes it's just AD as a small ball center, but like either way, that's a lot of length. Even if LeBron is your four, like that's still a lot of length at the rim to like get arms in the way and stuff like that. And especially when they're playing big, I do think that I would imagine their plan is going to be to try and get him to like head into that kind of wall of arms and put shots up over that. Like obviously he is I think a pretty good finisher at the rim. Like he has some, the Grizzlies, a couple Grizzlies learned that the hard way yesterday. And like, he can score from anywhere. So like to some degree, you know, any defense against him is hopeless. I think you're just trying to get him to take more contested shots, and the Lakers don't have anyone that can do that necessarily in single coverage. Like, you know, most teams in the league don't with Dame, but like, I think that they're probably going to try and funnel him towards AD, towards JaVale McGee, and just make him force shots over those guys and kind of live with the results.
So I don't want to sit here and sound like I'm saying anything nicer remotely decent about a Laker, but Kuzma has looked decent in the bubble. What, when you take away the positives, obviously there hasn't been a ton of positives for the Lakers because they've kind of been in coast mode in the bubble. Yeah. What are the positives for the Lakers heading into this playoff series? Who are the X factors? Who are the guys outside of LeBron and AD who are going to need to be a difference maker in order for this to go the way for the Lakers?
Yeah, I mean, LeBron said it the other day. He said Kuzma has to be like our third best player for us to win a title. And like, he has very much been that in the bubble. And I think that some of that is like, he's finally healthy now. He did not start the year healthy. He had like a couple games here and there where he was like not, he had not been on the injury report for a little bit, but for the most part, he was on and off the injury list all year. And I think the pandemic, you know, like it all, and the stoppage like allowed him to take some time, get his legs under him, and kind of show the type of player that I think a lot of us thought that he could be going into this year, but just wasn't able to because of the foot injury he sustained with Team USA. And he missed all of training camp. So like, he missed out on learning habits of a winning team and like learning from all of these veterans that they brought in other than from the sideline, which is just different, you know? And like, I think that he's been able to get out there on the floor and like, he's doing the things that this team needs him to do. He's been a two-way wing. Like he's been a solid scorer for them. He's been their best three-point shooter in the bubble. He has been like, he's been the bright spot, I think, as far as we're looking at any from the bubble. Like, you know, if I were to pick a second, it would be like, you know, I guess they're healthy coming out of it. Like, and like, if it was a third, it was like the Deion Waiters, Alex Caruso backcourt looks good. Like, we're not picking from a lot of, you know, of a lot of positives here. You raise your eyebrows. They've looked good. Like,
that, I know, that listen, I know I've caught a few of the incredibly high confidence Deion Waiters rotations out.
Yeah, there. No, I mean, look, Deion Waiters has not been all good, but with Caruso, like that lineup is like an insane net rating or whatever over the course of, like they've been good together. But like Kuzma has been the bright spot as far as like bright spots go. Just about everyone else has played kind of below. He's the only guy that has played better than they did before the bubble, while in the bubble. So like, they're going to need him to score. And I think that this is like, you can correct me if you think I'm wrong on this, but I don't think the Blazers have a lot of guys to defend him. Like, I know wing defense is not really a strength for them at this point.
Yeah.
I was kind of looking at like, who are they going to throw at LeBron and just laughing a little bit. And like, you know, I saw someone, I wish I could give them credit, but I didn't see who it was. Like, you know, remember the name. Somebody tweeted the, like, you know, it's that picture of the guy crying as he aims a gun at someone. It's like LeBron when he has to end the Melo redemption tour. Mm-hmm. And like, I think, you know, if Skinny Melo is guarding LeBron, like, you know, that's going to be a little bit of help getting him going. And I'm not sure that him guarding Kuzma is going to go a whole lot better for him at this stage in his career.
Yeah. And that's kind of leads me to where we're going next with defensively. The Blazers, as bad as the matchup is for the Lakers not being, you know, able to handle guards, well, the Blazers are missing their two best wings in Ariza and Hood as far as consistent guys. Now, Gary Trent Jr. certainly looked good, but I hesitate to bump him up to a wing. He's a sometimes wing. He's a guard. He's 6'4" and a half, maybe 6'5". Asking him to go up and handle a task like LeBron, it's unfair to him. That's just the reality of it. And Collins has rolled his ankle, so that's one more big body down. And you're definitely not going to want to put Nurk or Whiteside or any of those guys on LeBron James. So what
I can confirm after watching their last two games, that you don't really want to put Whiteside on anybody.
No, it's he had a couple of moments where he was actually really solid. And then he had some moments where he was unplayable. That's just
it's funny. Like, Lakers fans are scared of him because he was the one that went off in that Blazers win against mm-hmm. the Lakers. Like, as much as Dame was obviously the star of that game,
yeah.
But Whiteside was 13 of 14 or something. Uh-huh. And said, like, he was really good that night. And it's like, Lakers fans are like, oh, like, can we deal with White? It's like, you may want to watch a couple more Blazers games than just that one to figure out whether or not you think Whiteside is a huge problem.
An engaged Whiteside, who's making solid decisions, is a major boon for the Blazers. The problem is they just don't know when they're going to get that guy.
Yeah.
That's the problem. As far as the Blazers are concerned, and this addresses a couple questions we got here from the listener questions, and thank you everybody for getting them in. I'm going to kind of weave them in as we go here. The whole idea of who's going to guard who, and for the Blazers, ultimately, I think they're going to end up throwing two at AD and single covering LeBron and letting a guy like Caruso shoot, letting a guy like Deion Waiters shoot. They're going to give the same treatment to the Lakers that basically the opponents have given to Damian Lillard and the Blazers for the past 4 years. I think they're finally going to go with, listen, we have to stop AD as much as we can. We're not going to leave LeBron because he's the best playmaker at finding those mismatches in those situations. But what we're going to do is we're going to live with some guy, the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth option when you're looking at the offensive pecking order to be that guy. And Portland does have the bodies to throw at AD. That they do have. They've got Nurk, they've got Whiteside, if Collins is healthy, and then they've got, unbelievably, Wenyen Gabriel, who obviously played in the night after Kobe died and opened the game up.
Lakers workout legend, Wenyen Gabriel. He still has the record for the Lakers mentality drill that they do every year. I remember, I did not even know who he was until he did that, but then I saw him on the Blazers this year, like, actually playing. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like, he was a nice guy.
Yeah, no, and he's got, and this isn't me, like, saying he's the cure for all their ails, but he gives them something that they don't have otherwise, which is a 6'9", 6'10", stupidly athletic, springy guy who brings energy. I mean, he opened up the game after Kobe's death by pinning JaVale McGee's dunk to the backboard, and that was that's what kind of set the tone for that game. The whole team kind of fed off that. And when Collins rolled his ankle or had this ankle issue that he's been dealing with the last couple games, he came out there and played well against the Grizzlies too. So he's another body they'll throw at it. And so ultimately I think that's what they're going to end up doing, is throwing bodies at AD, hoping that Melo can at least stay in front of LeBron to keep him from being a freight train going downhill at times. And then at the back end of it, just trying to figure out what exactly they need to do to you know, keep everybody else from stepping into wide open threes all the time.
I agree with you 100%. I mean, I don't know if they're going to do that, but that's probably, I think, the game plan to go with the Lakers at this point. Like, Toronto, you know, the Blazers are not the Raptors on defense, but Toronto Toronto basically did the exact strategy that you're describing. And look, like, they have better personnel to do that strategy. I think it had probably been a while since, you know, it had been a while since AD played basketball really at all. It was their second game back for real. And, you know, like, they did not deal he made good passes out of those double teams. The Lakers just didn't make shots, which has been a theme for them in the bubble. And if the Blazers can kind of just force the ball out of his hands, like, he's a guy that really went off against them this year. And, you know, the Blazers have Nurk back, as all of you are well aware. But, like, you know, AD averaged 32 points in those matchups this year, which is significantly up from his average. And I believe had almost 40 in the first game against the Blazers. And, like, you know, he's been good in that matchup. And, every team makes playoff adjustments. They'll probably defend him differently, and they're going to get scheme for him this time. And, you know, Blazers staff has had, like, I think, luxury scheming specifically for the Lakers for weeks, because they knew if they were going to make it in, that's the team they were going to play. Whereas the Lakers only just confirmed for sure that it's going to be the Blazers, and so are only just now throwing all their resources at it. But, like, you know, they're going to probably have a different strategy than they used on him in the regular season, is my point. And so I think that might be that. And as far as Melo on LeBron goes, like, you know, I don't think that that's probably a matchup that's going to be a winner for the Blazers on more times than not. But, like, as far as, like,
it's going to happen. Know, that's the thing, is it's going to happen.
Yeah,
probably
it's
a significant amount of time.
Yeah, it's going to happen. And, like, we all know, like, we play better when we play against our friends a lot of the time. Like, we've all been in those, like, pickup games where, like, or we all have that friend that's, like, a lot better than us at basketball. And, you know, we can defend them tougher than other guys just because, like, we're willing to be a little bit more physical, we're more competitive, whatever it may be. I don't think that that's going to be that just simple desire is going to be enough to, like, stop LeBron, but maybe Melo plays a little bit better defense than he has this year just for having more motivation to do so. I still think that that will probably work out in the Lakers' favor more often than not, but it's like you said, they don't have
generous
anyone
of you.
Else to, yeah, I'm trying to be kind because,
kind. No, get him out there. Fire him out there. I'm definitely not going to clip these these clips up and reuse them later. No,
look, I'm not saying that LeBron is going to, like, dunk on Melo and, like, escort him to a courtside seat, like, for retirement or something like that as the series goes along.
He did try to do that to Yusuf Nurkic 2 years ago.
Yeah, you know, like, I think, yeah, I mean, like, that, let's just, I'm going to be nice to the soon-to-be retiree and show some respect to my elders and just not go any further than I just did. But, yeah, I would say that LeBron, you know, he's been dealing with a little bit of nagging groin soreness, but, like, I think that it seems like it's more the type of thing that they're just trying to be careful with than anything.
It's also known as getting old.
Limiting him. Yeah, he is old.
Yeah.
You know?
Every time I'm like, I wonder how old LeBron is, and I'm like, oh, that's right, he's only 4 months younger than me. And then it just kind of sets in. I'm like,
no. And look, I tore my groin a couple years ago and it never goes away. Like, there are always moments where it, like, it nags at you. And so, like, whenever people are like, it's 2 years, is he still dealing with it? I'm like, yeah. I mean, my doctor told me, and I don't have the physical, like, fitness resources that LeBron do. We'll say I'm a little bit less good of an athlete than he is.
Yeah. There you go. I think that's fair.
But, like, you know, my doctor told me this was going to be with me for the rest of my life. Like,
yeah. Probably.
And, like, that surgery wouldn't even fix it. Like, it might make it worse. So, like, not to get it. And so LeBron, like, having to deal with this is not surprising to me. And, like, we'll see if it ends up, like, you know, ultimately slowing him down too much. But
imagine being 6'8 and 270 behind it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, with all of his, like, force and stopping power and, like, stop start, like, ridiculous athleticism, jumping, all that stuff. Like, you know, like, that's going to nag at you sometimes. But I think Melo may be what he needs to get going a little bit, but we shall see over the course of this series.
Okay, this one comes a bit of a surprise because I know Laker fans pretty much wanted to bury him, like, metaphorically and physically. JaVale McGee has been a guy that has driven the Blazers crazy over the last couple of years. They lob threats, finishing at the rim, offensive rebounds. Now, granted, Nurk, for whatever reason, it's his kryptonite. Do the Lakers even play him this series with how he looked in the bubble?
They will. I would be shocked if they didn't play him. I would not be shocked if he has a very quick hook on himself. But, it's like you said, like, he's been a guy that's been kryptonite for them. Why not give him a series where, especially in a matchup where the other team's going to play big a fair amount too, so you can kind of play the normal way that you play and not be forced to go small. Like, I do think he will probably continue to start this series, at least at the beginning. And, like, you know, the Blazers do not have, you know, I was watching them last two games and, like, they just are not very good at defending around the rim. like from either putback opportunities, lob chances, whatever, like, or just easy dunks, whatever. Like, they just, they don't seem to communicate the best or don't necessarily want to. I don't know completely.
They're
what
all
the
small.
Issue is.
That's yeah. the problem. It's Jusuf Nurkić if he rotates over and helps on anything. The guys rotating over on the backside are 6'1", 6'3", 6'4", and then Melo at 6'7", 6'8". So,
yeah. So, like, I mean, that's going to be a problem against a guy like JaVale McGee. And maybe this is a series to get him going. I don't know. I know that Lakers fans, like it's to the point where I am, I'm having a, you know, and a little bit of a spoiler alert for the rare crossover Silver Screen and Roll podcast listeners that also listen to the Blazers Edge podcast. But, like, you know, I'm having the guy who produces JaVale's vlogs on our show tomorrow.
Awesome. And they've done a fantastic job with those.
Yeah, no, they've been incredible. And, like, I'm excited to talk to him, and I think it's going to be a great conversation. And, like, but there's still a voice in the back of my head of, like, how angry are Lakers fans going to be that we're even just, like, mentioning JaVale's vlogs right now when he hasn't been playing well? Because, you know, sports fans, the first thing they always go to is,
you can't do one or the other.
He shouldn't be vlogging. Like, he should be working on his – yes, I'm sure that he should put down the camera when he is on his relaxation time anyway. Yeah. And, you know, like just go shoot more free throws, I guess. Like, you know,
yeah, Damian Lillard should stop rapping, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Those things. It's like,
are there do those people exist?
Oh god, yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Actually,
endlessly. Yeah, there was somebody that said, yeah, it's because he's in the bubble and he's not working on an album, that's why he's been playing so well.
Oh yes, I'm sure.
Which is hilarious because he has a studio. He has a studio in his suite.
Oh, well, then never mind. So, I mean, then that theory does not hold up.
No, he literally put out a single this morning with his teammates, with Nasir Little and Gary Trent Jr. So, yeah, it's a real thing. This is a question that goes asked, I think, mostly for the Blazers. So I'm going to ask it to you from a Blazers perspective. What would the Blazers have to do the unthinkable and win the series?
I think Dame would have to average like probably 40 or 45, like no joke. Like I just don't, I think anything short of that, like I don't think that like they are going to be able to win four games against this Lakers team. Like, you know, or like, you know, like, I mean, no, I'm not going to say hope somebody gets injured, but like if the Lakers do continue to look rusty or they're still dealing with a couple of these dings, like that may help the Blazers' case a little bit because, you know, like LeBron's been dealing with some soreness. AD has. Kyle Kuzma, I think, has like sprained his ankle once or twice since being in the bubble. Like there are things that they're dealing with, like every team is this time of year, but like if any of them limit them at the wrong time, like, you know, that might be a recipe. But like beyond, you know, like Damian Lillard going like guard wilt or something like that. Like, I just don't think that, like, I just don't think it's possible. Like, I know that like the Blazers have become a chic pick because, like, you know, TV shows, they want to figure out a way to talk about the Lakers and like get the ratings up on these games and get people like nobody wants to listen to a, like, why the Mavericks could upset the Clippers segment is like the point that I keep making to fans that are mad about all the coverage this is getting. It's like, you know, the Blazers, they have players that that, like, you know, the Fairweather fan has heard of. Like, like if I go and I talk to my dad tonight, who, like, my dad watches the NBA, but like he doesn't watch like every game of a home team. He doesn't have like a team that he's dedicated to. He just like, he likes basketball enough and he watches like national TV games. Like if I go to him and I ask him, like, do you think that the Blazers are going to be a problem in like round one? He will probably say yes, because like they have players that he's heard of and like he has been told like that, like this could be an issue or whatever. But like, you know, I just have a hard time seeing, you know, based on what we've seen this year, based on how good the Lakers have been, I just think that they have more answers for their issues in this matchup than the Blazers do for, like, their own, like, you know, issues. Like, I just think that – I don't think that the Blazers are going to be able to slow down AD and LeBron, like, simultaneously, at least not for four games. And, like, I think the Blazers – the Lakers can at least do enough to hopefully – I think tire Dame out and like make him really work and kind of slow down the other guys that they can like pull this one out. I do think that the games will be close. I don't think that it's going to be blowouts. I just think that the Lakers just have more.
No, I think that's fair. I've seen a lot of Lakers in four, Lakers in four, Lakers in four. And I have a very, very hard time seeing a Damian Lillard team getting swept right now.
Yeah, I think they're going to get one or two for sure. Mm. Like, you know, I just don't – I don't think it's going to be a long – like, you know, I don't think it's going to be seven. I honestly think it'll probably be one.
Six.
I think it'll be one and out. But, like so five, I guess, but it would be my prediction. But, you know, it might be six. They're really hot right now. So, like, there's something to that.
Yeah, and I have to be careful with how I say Damian Lillard getting swept, because it's happened, you know, so it's kind of problematic anytime I say that.
He's gotten better since then, though, to his credit. Like, you know, he's gotten better and his teammates have gotten better.
And that's the thing, is that and I feel like I'm having to defend Damian Lillard here because, you know, there's people out there who are insane, but the whole idea of it being just Dame, that it wasn't the roster or lack of, you know, options are
that's the burden of being a star in the NBA, though. It's like if you win, like, all the credit goes to you for the most part. But if you lose, like, you know, like, we're seeing that to an insane degree with the Raptors this year. Like, Kawhi, everybody talked about him dragging them to a title, all this stuff. They're like, what? I think they finished as the second seed in the East, right?
They, I think they had the exact same record at the exact same time in the season.
Yeah, they're
obviously the shortness of the season.
Yeah, they're really good, and like very clearly have legit players besides Kawhi Leonard. Like, I think some of their young players obviously made strides this year, but like,
yeah Fred, like, VanVleet becoming CJ McCollum was probably pretty helpful.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they, like, it was clearly not just Kawhi, and so like, I think that we're seeing with the Blazers this year, like, you don't make it in to, like, under the scenario that they were facing if it's just Dame. Like, you have to have other guys. Like, CJ McCollum's playing through a broken back right now, or, you know, like,
yeah.
I have respect and a little bit of fear for, like, you know, like, him doing that, just like fear for his own, like, safety. Yeah. Basically, I get nervous just watching him, like, drive anywhere near the basket or anything. But, like, you know, like, I've, you know, as much as I have become known as, like, the Blazers hater, like, I do have a lot of respect for this specific team.
I'm going to edit this part out. Harrison says nice things. Bloop! And just chop it all off.
Just like, you can re-edit it and like take out like the qualifiers or whatever, and like
exactly
add some new, you can like read into the mind. It'll be like,
I'm in a
like
mad
the Blazers
limit.
Are, and then like you say like terrible.
Yeah. No, I'll just,
you
I'll
can just edit that part. I just realized I just made that really easy for you.
I'll just put slide that in before every time you say something nice and just, you know, chop it out.
Yeah.
I'm going to come back to some injuries here. In this series, do the Blazers miss Ariza and Hood more than the Lakers will miss Rondo and Bradley? Kind of
as
frame
someone
this.
Who did not watch all of the Lakers, all of the Blazers games mm-hmm. this year, I have to say absolutely the Blazers. But no joke, Bradley's value has been shown. I think Rondo's value, even to a degree, as like a guy
it
like
exists.
For chemistry purposes in the locker room, like as a guy who just helps the team dynamic, has been shown in the bubble. And Bradley's on-court value has obviously been shown in the bubble to some degree with like how they've struggled and how bad these new look starters have looked with KCP taking his place. I will say that going into the bubble, I thought there was a potential for this to be addition by subtraction, which I don't think that anybody was saying about the Blazers' losses. Like, Rondo has been bad this year. Like, I don't know how many Lakers games you've caught, but, like,
he's had
his moments, for sure. But, like, he's been overall, like, a extreme, like, you know, unequivocal net negative on this team on the court, you know, over the course of the year. And, look, like, Bradley's defense, he tries really hard, so he's a guy that gets a lot of like pub for his defense. And I do think that there's an intangible benefit in terms of inspiring his teammates to like play that hard and seeing the way that he's locked in and really trying that hard. But like, I mean, you saw how well that worked against Dame in like, you know, the game that the Blazers won. Like, Bradley is not a guy that's going to be like a shutdown person in this matchup. I do think he could have helped on McCollum maybe. Like, they're, you know, he would have at least given them another guy to throw at them.
It's another positive body to throw at.
I just think that like Ariza, like being gone just like takes away like the only like I think like credible
viable LeBron option defender, for LeBron
like that you had, and I just think that's such a bigger minus than losing like, you know, these kind of guys that we know, like Rondo, like as much as the memes are fun, Rondo's not going to shut down Dame, and like neither was Avery Bradley, and like I think that like not that Ariza was going to shut down LeBron, but he could have made it harder on him than any of the guys currently on the roster. So like I think for me, the Blazers losses are like a much bigger issue, I think, for them. I think they would have been, you know, I would have honestly been like, okay, like could this series, like I probably would have said 6, like maybe even 7, like with those guys, just because it gives like the Blazers some waves to like,
it gives them wing versatility. Like
I still would have been picking the Lakers, don't get me wrong, but like the Blazers would have been a better matchup. Whereas right now, like it's very clear where their Achilles heels are. And I think the Lakers are pretty well positioned to like almost more than basically any other NBA team to attack their specific weaknesses right now.
Yeah, I'll just touch on it from the Blazer side of things. Ariza gave them a true wing defender, and it wasn't like he was the best defender on the face of the planet or that he gave them this just otherworldly production. It's just that the wing production for the Trailblazers has been so poor for so long that 12 points, a couple rebounds, and plus defense looks so much better because he's – he's a positive decision maker in that he knows what to do. He knows how to, you know, when somebody attacks too hard on a closeout to pump fake and go. He knows that when the ball's going in rotation, he needs to swing it and where it needs to go and how it needs to get there. And he's just a high IQ player that the Blazers are kind of short on, particularly at that position where they play on both sides of the ball. Big thing.
You don't have to sell someone who was a like Lakers fan in 2009 on the value of Trevor Ariza.
Yes.
Like I know it's been 11 years, but like Trevor Ariza can play, and like and he's a guy that has shown to be able to like, you know, play like take things up a level in the playoffs as well. So like I think he's a guy that, you know, I don't think that he would have won them the series, but I think he would have made it more interesting.
I'm hoping that Dame is on the phone right now petitioning Chris Haynes to find a loophole. To allow Trevor Ariza into the bubble.
The Blazers, I feel like the Blazers have definitely had someone look into if there's some kind of loophole in this, like,
oh, no, they have, know, 100%
pandemic
they have.
CBA to, like, get Trevor Ariza in there. Like, if they can say that he's, like, Dame's, like if they can find, like, a relationship link between him and Dame, like, long-lost cousins or something like that. Just figure out a way to get him into the bubble and, you know, like, give him Carmelo Anthony's jersey for a couple possessions, like...
I mean, anybody, Jersey, really. Let's be honest.
The problem is that you don't have a twin on your team. Like, the Lakers, they can get, like, the third secret triplet of the Morrises to, like, come and, like, replace him for that matchup.
Has anybody ever seen the third one in the same place as the other ones?
No, it's my favorite NBA conspiracy theory, like, that there is a third Morris twin.
And they're just rotating through.
I guess Morris triplet. And,
yeah, the like, Morrisi.
Yeah, it's why they never miss games, basically, is like, just, you know, there's Markieff, there's Marcus, and there's Mark. And like Mark comes and Mark comes and subs in, you know, if Markieff or Marcus can't play. Look, why else do you have all the same tattoos as your sibling if you don't
and share bank accounts?
Yeah, like, look, I'm saying, like, it's a little fishy.
God, it's another reason to hate the Lakers. So much just. Overall, the way that the bubble has gone and the way these playoffs are going, what has been your big takeaway so far? And how do you think the games every other day and lack of home court is going to play out for both teams here?
I think that what we've seen is that it gives teams better rest. Like, I think the basketball, you know, like from the non-Lakers games that I have watched, the basketball has looked better, I think, in a lot of ways in the bubble. And like a lot, definitely a lot better than I expected. Mm-hmm. And like somebody was making this point last week, and I don't remember who, but like, I think it really should force the NBA to look at some of how it does its like playoff matchups in the future and like how it does the regular season, how it approaches just travel in general. Like, I think that we've really seen the benefits of like not like players not having to play, you know, like a game and like that ends at like, you know, 1 a.m. their local time, and then they have to travel back and like take a flight and get into a hotel. Like now they just like take a golf cart back to their room. Like that's great. And like, I think that I honestly don't know that it necessarily helps either team more than the other. I just think that with two veteran teams like this, we probably will get better basketball than we would have gotten otherwise. Like, especially under the circumstances where the Blazers just had to fight so hard to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a little bit better of a chance, I think, that they're going to be able to kind of keep it going, just because, like, this is basically, like, if you were to ask, like, a rest scientist to, like, design the perfect environment for, like, NBA players to play, like, you know, maybe the games would be played a little earlier in the day or something like that. But beyond that, like, I think this is basically a test tube for what you would want for recovery and like health. And like, it's funny, they went into the bubble to avoid like a potentially deadly virus, but they may have discovered like plenty of other health benefits to like, you know, playing
better
this way.
And
yeah, like, they aren't going to say no to playoff revenue. So like, I don't know, they aren't going to go to like a bubble for every postseason or anything. Like, I'm not saying that, but like, I do think that maybe it can make you look at like, like, can you add an extra day between some series and stuff like that? So that, or between games and series, so that mm-hmm. you don't have to fly out that night. You can fly out the next morning. You can go back to your hotel, sleep there, and then fly out the next morning. Like,
fly out the day before and then get more acclimated to a city or a time zone.
Exactly. Like, what can you do to kind of transfer some of what we're seeing here to like regular life? And like, again, both of these teams are filled with veterans. So like, I think it's going to impact probably both of them equally, but I do think that we will get a better basketball series than we would have otherwise.
All right, official prediction time. What's it gonna be?
Oh, I Lakers in five, I think.
You go with five?
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to piss everybody off and go Lakers in six. So
what? That's going to piss everybody off? Who's that pissing off?
Oh, I'm sure there's plenty of people who think that I hate this team. So.
Oh, okay.
This is not a Lakers podcast, Harrison. Okay. So these are Blazers fans.
All the Blazers fans I've dealt with have been so reasonable that like I thought that, you know. Maybe I should just zig where you're zagging and create like a new opportunity for my. I could be the real Blazers outsider and be like, no, Blazers in seven. Like,
yeah, no,
you're gonna click that now. I'm realizing and just put that out there. Yeah. I think look, like the Blazers run has been like crazy. Like they've shown that they're a good team. I just like I'm not buying into that they can do enough to slow this Lakers team down. Like you know the Lakers. I describe the Blazers defense as like laxatives for your shooters, basically.
Good Lord. And, pretty,
it's graphic, but I think it,
like, I would have gone probably the other way and gone like steroids for your shooters, but
you know, that would have been cleaner probably.
Yeah. Maybe less of a cleanse, more of a build.
Yeah, no, but I think we are going to see either way. I think we're going to see a little bit of an explosion from Lakers, 3-point shooters.
The guys have been able to walk into shots that's, the opponents last checked averaged 1.2 points per possession against the Blazers in the bubble, which is obscene.
Yeah, I think it was 120 points per 100 possessions, which does equal out to that 1.2 when I was looking yesterday, which is that's really bad. The one thing that I can say is like Danny Green has not played well in the bubble. He's had mostly open threes is the thing. And the Blazers might be the most qualified to give him open threes of like any team remaining in the bubble.
Oh, hands down.
And he shot horribly on those. So like maybe the strategy is just for them to continue defending horribly and the Lakers get so psyched out they can't make threes.
I'm here for that.
Yeah. I think we just described the scenario where the Lakers beat the Blazers. Like they're so intimidated by how open they are that they just can't make shots.
Well, everyone but Dion Waiters, because we all know that Dion Waiters' confidence level never wavers, regardless of past experiences.
He essentially plays with a blindfold on. Like, he's not looking at what the defense is doing before deciding.
He's pre-deciding before he gets the ball in his hands.
Yeah, exactly. Like he's already like it's not even horse blinders. It's like it's full like you know blinder. It's like the Kanye shades that you can't see out of. Like.
I think we're going to end on Kanye shades. That's a perfect way to describe what we got here. Thanks for coming on, man.
Well, actually,
I appreciate you.
Hold on, before we wrap up, I have a business opportunity for you. So you did ask me for like Blazer strategies, like that could work, and I gave you a serious answer. I am now prepared to give you, you know, maybe like look, it, like desperate times call for desperate measures.
Okay,
and I'm not saying. That like if Blazers fans find my PayPal account and start like pouring money into it, that I will tweet lots of mean things about Damian Lillard.
Oh, perfect!
Go for 60 every night. But I'm also saying I'm a businessman.
I encourage this.
So
go ahead and plug your PayPal even.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to do that because I think it's a violation of my contract. But you know, if that were to happen, I will say. Like, look, I might be more willing to, like, jump out there and, like, say that Damian Lillard is just, like, Steve Francis with a bigger fan base.
Oh, God.
You know? Like, I'm just, like...
I don't know who that's more slanderous towards, Steve Francis or Damian
Lillard. I honestly
Lillard.
Don't know either, which is why I thought it was great. Maybe I'll piss off, like, a long dormant subset of Steve Francis fans.
Yeah, too. Rockets fans, you mean?
Yeah. So, like... With that, like more, you know, slander like that can be yours for like the small price.
The low price.
Yeah, for the low price of just, you know, I'll let you decide.
Okay,
just,
like, we'll figure out a dollar amount for you.
Yeah, I'm just saying that like there are worse ideas for how the Blazers can try and beat the Lakers, like having Melo guard LeBron.
You work with what you got, I guess at this point.
Look, we've seen it work once. I've proven that I can do this. I a couple years ago, I made the mistake of saying that Damian Lillard was just Lou Williams with a SoundCloud account. Uh-huh. And I think he dropped 30 points in the fourth quarter of that game or something like that.
And you got and destroyed.
I had to fake my own death because I was getting it from Blazers fans. I was getting it from Lakers fans. No joke. I left for a trip to New York the next day and I just deleted Twitter off my phone. I was like, I will check
That's
back
smart.
In. Yeah, it was like, I was like, you know what? I was Donald Glover walking in and seeing the whole apartment on fire and just slinking back out and shutting the door. Yeah. I was like, I'm not dealing with this. I will come back in a few days when the death threats are
over. Slander always follows, though, but let's be honest.
Yeah, no, it's stuck with me. So I'm just saying, I've proven my worth. So look, I can be had, okay? I'm not a Lakers employee. I can be had. That's all I'm saying.
I like that. You're not like Pete.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, look, Pete's calling him Mr. Lillard for the whole series. I don't have to do that for the small price of $29.99.
That's fair. It's a smart man right there.
No, he's smarter than I am. Nobody's going to dispute that.
All right, man. Thanks for hopping on. I appreciate it. Go ahead and plug what you got.
So, you know, if you want to hear more takes like this, which I'm not sure why Blazers fans would, but you can find the Silver Screen Roll podcast. You can attack me on Twitter at HMFagan. I just ask that you like limit the death threats, unlike last time.
Go with giraffe gifts.
Exactly. Like that hurts me, but it doesn't like make me like really sad. Like it's a little bit of hurt. So, yeah, you can do that. I can be found on Twitter at HMFAIGEN. You can read my takes that jinx the Blazers into blowout performances on Twitter, you know, at silverscreenroll.com. And I look forward to people tweeting this podcast at me when we're like right before game 7 or something.
Oh, don't worry. I'll have this broken down into smaller clips just so that they're ready to go.
I'm ready for it, man. This is going to be a fun series. I'm excited to watch it because I think it presents like interesting philosophical questions as far as rest versus rust, mm-hmm. you know, like what weakness is more valuable, like being able to attack it in today's NBA, all that stuff. Like
the dynamics of guards versus bigs. Yeah. Exactly. It's going to be, if for nothing else, it's going to be a really interesting style of fights.
Yes, exactly.
When we talk about boxing, that the style always is what makes the fight. So I think that's going to be cool. I'll wrap it up there. Everybody be sure to follow Harrison. Check out his stuff. Even if you hate the Lakers, they do make good stuff down there.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, I got to, you know, say something remotely nice.
Yeah, no, you have now earned the guest appearance. So,
there you go.
Your contract is fulfilled.
Perfect. As always, you can find me on social media at Danny Marang, at DanNymarang, and on every post-game show through the playoffs on NBC Sports Northwest with my co-host Joe Simons on Blazers Outsiders. We'll keep the podcast coming. We'll probably do some more Laker guest-ish type folks. I'm going to try and get maybe some more folks from the bubble back involved now that there's a little bit more guaranteed time between games. Other than that, keep the questions coming. We'll keep those going, and we will keep the content coming all throughout the playoffs while the Blazers are active and running. Remember to like, subscribe, rate, review, do all those things, because I don't always tell you to do at the beginning of the podcast because I'm an idiot. And we'll catch you guys next week. Bye.
Hey, sports fans, if you want to stay in the know with the latest news surrounding the Oregon Ducks, you need to listen to the weekly Webfoot Review podcast on iTunes and Spotify. I'm Jordan Schultz, and every week I'll be here breaking down what's going on in Eugene and how it affects Oregon's football and basketball teams. So if you want unfiltered news and opinions delivered by a lifelong Ducks fan, subscribe to the weekly Webfoot Review on iTunes and Spotify. Go Ducks!